How often do you think about, like, what happens after you die?
Wow. Just throwing that one at me before we do the show.
Yeah. No, that's the intro now.
That's the intro to our show now? Oh, okay. I thought we were having Megan Maria chat time, but I guess that is what our show is anyway.
Yep, it really is.
How often do I think about it?
Yeah.
I would say maybe like twice a year.
Really? Wow.
Maybe like five times a year.
Wow.
It's not a lot because I come to the conclusion that it's nothing.
Yeah.
And then I'm just like, okay, that's depressing. Moving on.
All right.
Fair Why enough. Were you thinking about that?
I think about it like every time I get on an airplane.
I think about when I get on an airplane and I'm like, oh, we're all going to die. I'm like, oh, I hope I have last minute cell phone coverage.
Oh, that's sad. I think that too, though.
Yeah, because like that's like legitimately what I'm going to do.
Is like call somebody.
Yeah.
Who do you call? Your mom? Wow. All right. Put my foot in that one.
Getting real.
Yeah.
Getting real here. Would you make out with the person sitting next to you?
No.
They're hot. You're going down.
Yeah.
It's the last moment on earth.
Have I already placed my phone call?
Sure.
Yes, as long as they wanted to.
Okay. Hey, everybody, welcome to Magic the Amateur.
Would you?
No. I would give them a hug,
they're
though.
They're hot and they want to make out. Your answer is no?
It really depends on where I'm at in my life. Am I single? I don't know. Then the answer is pretty different.
Okay, fair
Look,
enough.
Look, I'm fidelitous even when I'm about to die.
Well, that's impressive.
What a catch.
What a catch. Hey, we're a podcast about magic, which is generally a cheerful game, but sometimes gets dark too.
You know, magic asks a lot of deep questions.
It really does.
And we're here to discuss them with you.
It raises a lot of zombies, kills a lot of parents.
Yeah, it does.
It really does.
Except only one.
Oh, man, it's sad. That
still
card is sad.
That card is sad.
That card is still sad.
Pia.
She just looks like, you know, she's obviously like a strong woman.
She is.
But it's still sad. Like, she lost her life partner.
Yeah.
Bad thing.
And a thopter.
That's
like, yeah, it's sad her husband's dead, but man, she lost this sweet thopter too.
Oh, crap. You're right.
Something we're going to talk about on the show is GP Louisville, which was team sealed. And I want to point out,
they're not into those thopters really, though, because they sacrifice them all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
They were all about sacrificing the thopters.
Somebody brought up that that Pia should be a 1-1 because her and her husband were a 2-2.
Or I'd like to think that Pia was a 2-2 the whole time and poor Kieran was just an 0-0, a 0-0.
I mean, in that case, that's why he's dead. Went to the graveyard.
State-based effects.
Yeah, so Kaladesh, we're talking about Kaladesh cards,
yep.
by the way.
Yes, we are.
If you didn't know, we're talking about Pia Nalar, Chandra's mom.
Who has her own card.
Her own card
in
a set.
Change from, obviously, Pia and Kieran Nalar, which was in Magic Origins.
Yes.
Pretty sad.
Pretty sad.
You look at it, it's dark.
But what we're going to talk about today is not only GP Louisville and
That's
Team Sealed.
Right, which is where we were.
We were there.
It was fun.
And we're going to talk about Kaladesh cards. There's a whole bunch of new ones that have been previewed.
Yep, they're pretty
cool. Really
cool,
including some really gold cards.
Yeah, they are.
And I don't just mean they have two colors of mana, color. Two colors of mana in their casting cost.
Color.
I mean, they're actually golden.
That's right. I thought that you meant that they were rare.
Oh,
that
too.
But they are also that.
Yeah. They are super double mythic rare.
For those of you who have never listened to our show before, welcome. This is about how it goes. This is a show about Magic the Gathering, which is for people new to the game, returning to the game, or who like to, you know, look on the bright side.
Yeah.
Or who
contrary
really just like, yeah,
to what you may think right now.
Every once in a while, like to take magic a little lightheartedly.
Yeah. And we do have some chats at the beginning of our show.
I'm Megan.
I'm Maria. And then we talk about magic.
Here we go.
Well, we got one more announcement to make.
That's right. We do have one more announcement, and it's exciting.
It is an exciting one, you guys. So we've been doing this podcast for 4 years.
Yes, we have.
In October, it'll be 4 years, which blows my mind when I think about it.
It's crazy.
And we are so ever so thankful to everybody who chooses to support us on patreon.com/MTAcast. Everybody who's a new member of our family this month, we welcome you with open arms. You're really cool and awesome.
Open hearts.
And we thank you because... seriously, without you, we would not be able to do what we do.
No.
It takes an immense amount of time and energy.
It takes a village to raise a podcast.
That's so true.
It really is.
And it only grows. It only keeps taking more time and energy as the show gets bigger, which is wonderful. But that's why we need your support. However, we do have fantastic news in that we have the very first sponsor for our show.
Yes, that's right, everybody. We are so excited.
Yes.
And so proud.
Yeah.
To now be sponsored by none other than Card Kingdom themselves.
Card Kingdom!
Card Kingdom, which has baller stores in Seattle, which we have been to. We have played many a game at.
I love those stores.
Not just Magic. We have played a host of games.
A lot of games. They've got games there. You can just play them.
They have games that you can play. They have amazing games that you can purchase. My copy of Ultimate Werewolf comes from the one in Seattle.
Yeah, I left my version of Codenames at Mox Sporting Goods.
That's how stores work.
Well, it was an accident, but if you go there and play it, chances are it's my copy of Codenames. If that's any benefit to you.
Yes. What we're saying is if you're in the Seattle area, go to their stores, check them out. It's a great time. And if you're not in Seattle, the good news is that they have a website, cardkingdom.com.
Yeah, it's just brand new. They've redone it. If you haven't visited it recently, it looks great.
It is lovely.
It's super easy to go on there to find cards to buy. Mm-hmm. And they have a great exchange rate, too, if you want to get some cards.
You can mail them all your singles, and then you can get back sweet cards for maybe a standard deck or a modern deck or an EDH deck or Dream Big, Legacy, Vintage.
Whoa.
Who knows? You trade in enough cards, man, you can do anything. And they can help make that possible.
It makes me proud to be sponsored by Card Kingdom, too, because they used to sponsor Limited Resources.
Yes.
So I feel like we're in good company. And they also currently sponsor Command Zone. So
they have a long and storied history.
So coming up on the show, GP Louisville, Team Sealed, Kaladesh, new preview cards, new expeditions, quote unquote. They're called inventions now.
Yes.
We have a Flavor Text Theater. Part
of the Masterpiece series.
Yeah, the Masterpiece. Flavor Text Theater featuring a throwback set.
Cons of Tarkir. We got a pack from lovely listeners and friends of the show, Vicky and James, when we were at Louisville.
Yes, and we also have a For the Noobs coming at you in 3, 2, 1.
Now.
For the Noobs!
Hey, everybody. We thought that with the introduction of some sweet draft leagues on Magic Online, that we would talk about what different sizes of draft pods can do to affect a draft, and what it means to have cross-pod pairings and how that can affect a draft.
Yeah, if you haven't heard the news, Magic Online recently instituted draft pods, which means... draft leagues, which means you can go on, you can draft, and then you can just sit there. You could sit there for a day.
Yeah, you don't have to play yet.
You don't need to play
immediately. You can wait. Or if you're like me, you can play them all right in a row.
Yeah, you don't have to wait for other people to finish their matches. Boom, 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 boom.
It's amazing. As soon as you finish a round, you can just hop back in the queue and then like immediately grab another draft.
So cool.
It took me about an hour and a half today to complete a draft and 3 rounds.
That's amazing because normally a regular draft takes about
two to three hours? 2 to 3 hours, kind of depending on how slow the format is or how slow the other decks in the group are. Because, you know, sometimes you end up waiting for another pairing that takes the whole 50 minutes.
Right.
So this is super sweet in that it lets you do it again, like if you have no time at all and you just want to get a draft in and then like you want to play the games later.
Yeah.
Or if you're like, hey, I'd love to do the whole thing and I've only got an hour and a half, there's a really good chance that you can get through the whole thing like right then.
Yeah, it's super sweet. It's the great. Only thing that may be a potential downside for you is that you're technically playing what they call cross pod.
Yes. So if you've ever drafted in a store or even on the other queues on Magic Online, like the 8-4s or the 4-3-2-2s, which they changed.
To the 6-2-2-2.
6-2-2-2. Or the pack per win.
Yep.
The Swiss pack per win. So in those, you're always playing the same 8 people that you sat down and drafted with. And what this means is that if you were in a store, say, and your store had three different sets of eight going, you wouldn't be playing just those eight people. You would be playing someone who is sitting at another table and drafting with an entirely different pool of cards.
Right. So one of the potential downsides to drafting CrossPod is you're not able to evaluate the draft as it goes on. So if you say, for example, a ride down come through your way and go around the table, and you end up playing somebody who's in red white, you might think to yourself, oh, they might be playing that ride down, so I'm going to watch out for it. In this case,
you don't know.
You don't know what is in their deck at all. It could be anything.
Could be whatever.
They could have Gisella hanging out in there for all you know, although you probably wouldn't know about that.
You probably wouldn't know about that anyway.
That's a P1, P1, am I right?
Yep.
But that's, I mean, that's, in my opinion, for the convenience of having a league that you can just sit down and play really fast or whenever you want on your own schedule, a small downside.
Yeah. Well, one of the other concerns is also that different pods can have different general power levels of the cards that were open. It's the same thing in, like, a sealed pool when you're opening however many freaking boosters, six.
Yes.
There we go. Six, or in, like, team when you're opening 12, right? There's very different power levels of different pools. And the same is true for an eight-person draft pod. Sometimes the power level of what's opened is extremely high. You have a lot of quality boosters that had lots of cards that are high picks.
Sure.
Whereas in other pods, you can have the same effect on a larger scale where it's like, it's not, you know, people are kind of working maybe a little bit more synergistically, or they're kind of, you know, they're filling in cards where they need to because the general quality level of the card opened was not quite as high.
Sure.
So the idea sometimes in cross-pod pairings is like, well, if you are one of the people, maybe you drafted great, but you were in a pod where the overall power level of the cards was a little bit lower, and then you play someone who might not even have, like, drafted as well, or maybe they did draft well, but their, like, the power level of those cards was a lot higher. It's, like, it can lead to lopsided matchups. It's not quite as true, like, a show of, like, how well did you draft your deck.
And how did you, you know, you were able to read the other signals around the table.
Exactly.
As well as reading what you were building in your own hands.
It's not as true a measure as if you were playing against someone who was working in the exact same environment that you were.
So another quick example is once I played in a PPTQ top eight draft, and it was a train wreck.
Yeah.
I don't remember if anybody knows that story from the show, but
I remember.
It was heinous. Do you remember seeing my deck afterwards?
Yeah.
It was easily the worst draft deck I'd ever drafted in my years of playing Magic. And I was obviously not the only one. Like, the whole draft got tanked.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, that's something that could... I mean, we were all stressed out and nervous, which is why it happened. But, like, it could potentially happen.
Yeah, like, you could be in a draft pod online where it's a tanked draft. Yeah. Like, no one knows what the heck is going on.
Yeah.
You're not even getting clear signals. You're getting signals that are, like, all across the board and just being like, what is going on here?
Like, it's a doctor and there's a patient and it's like, beep, beep, beep. Oh, this is fine. Beep, 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 beep. Burr. Oh, God, flatlining. Pump their chest, pump their chest. Bring in the things. Boop, boop, boop. On three. On beep, beep. Oh, just kidding. They're fine. They're fine. Oh, God. Beep, flatlining, flatlining. That's what it felt like.
That draft?
Yeah.
That was a really, I was in the moment with you for a
second.
Thank you. That was a really great recreation.
I watched a lot of Scrubs.
That's like the most lighthearted doctor show you could have chosen to insert right there.
Yeah, but it's also the only doctor show I ever watched.
Oh. Did you ever watch the early seasons of Grey's Anatomy?
No.
Like, the early ones are actually pretty good.
Okay.
Like, you know, eventually it tanks because now it's on like 13 or whatever. And
yeah.
I have no idea what's going on. But I remember watching, I think, through the first three seasons and being like, this is pretty good.
I watched like a couple episodes of House.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was like,
I don't get behind that unlikable of a protagonist.
I was like, it just doesn't make sense to me. I'm like, how are you still employed and have a staff?
It's great, though, to watch that and, like, Hugh Laurie. And then did you ever watch Jeeves and Wooster?
Yes.
And think, like, it's the same person, which is
weird.
Hilarious.
He's so funny.
You guys have never seen Jeeves and Wooster, based on the novels by P.G. Wodehouse. It's great. And a very young Hugh Laurie is
in
them.
Done a lot of great comedy.
As, like, this, like, young kind of, you know, like, he's not even a dandy. He's, like, more incompetent than a dandy. Like, a young English gentleman who's just, like, pretty incompetent.
Anyway, my draft felt like that. These things can all happen. What we're trying to say is these things can all happen, okay?
Exactly. But
we just like waxed poetical about how much we love them at the top of the show, which remains true.
And it's so like those are some of the drawbacks. But that being said, people are still playing these draft leagues gangbusters because they're great.
Yeah, great idea.
It was so much fun to be able to hop in and like play all of the Magic that I wanted to. It's like, okay, I only have an hour and a half before I have to leave, but I want to play the most Magic that I possibly can.
Yeah,
I got to play the whole thing. And it was nice to know that even if I didn't, I wouldn't have to like drop after two rounds. I could just come back and eventually play that third game if I needed to.
Or have that bad idea, like 2 a.m. final round. Man.
I thought about it. I ended with like 15 extra minutes and I was like, okay, Megan, you could draft another deck right now. And I was like, don't do it. Don't do it, you jerk. I didn't. But I thought hard about it.
So let's talk about sizes of draft pods and what they can do to sort of affect your draft. So eight man is the general size that you want in a draft.
Exactly.
That's like a pure perfect form of draft. That's like you went in the cave, you got the perfect diamond out of there. You know what I mean?
Diamonds don't come from caves.
Where are they?
Mines. Which are just like deep caves, I guess.
It's like a man-made cave.
Yeah. But farther underground?
Sure.
More like squarer edges?
Haven't you ever been to Diamond Cave?
No. Should I go?
You should probably go.
It's pretty good.
It's really nice in there. Just don't touch anything. It'll cut you. But then you'll also see people play 6-person, which ends up being a team draft, and 10-person.
Well, any of them can be team drafts.
That's true.
Which is nice.
That's true. Six is just what I think of it. Drafts.
Oh boy, there's so many kinds of draft you can do.
Okay, so 10 is pretty common. I see it at stores like when.
Exactly. They six need to also seat. Happens.
At six stores. Happens and eight. Those are the most common.
Those are the ones that you'll see at stores in general. Six, it's generally considered like your decks will probably be a little bit weaker. Again, because you're just not opening as many boosters. So you don't have as many options to make up those last few cards in your deck.
Right.
You're just not going to maybe see as many quality commons or quality uncommons that make, you know, truly outstanding draft decks. And 10-person pods, it can be like so difficult to read signals.
It's pretty tough because by the time those cards come back around to you.
By the time you see a booster come back around, like you're seeing the dregs.
Yeah.
There's no way. Sometimes you can still get a solid idea of like what people have taken out of that pack. But a lot of times it's like, yes, these were 4-5 terrible cards and nobody took them. This tells me
this
nothing.
Makes sense. Yes.
This tells me nothing. I don't know.
So when you're in a 10-person draft, Megan, do you enter it thinking any differently about how you're going to draft?
I would say 10-person, I do generally. On the other hand, I feel like you have to be paying a lot of attention right off the bat.
Yes.
I think in a lot, like eight-person draft pods, sometimes you can get away with being a little wishy-washy at the beginning.
Like, oh, maybe I'll take this rare.
Like you speculate on a card or two and you kind of wait to see how the signals are going. In 10-person, I feel like you have to be on top of it from like the first minute.
Yeah,
because
I agree.
Again, you're only going to see like one pack per person that's going to give you a clear idea.
That's why 10-person can be pretty tough because you need to read those signals coming in from your right pretty fast.
Like you need to be right on top of that.
And let's just sure hope that those people don't change their minds.
Oh God. Then you're just in trouble.
Yeah, then you're in trouble.
But that being said, you know, also a lot of boosters are being opened at a 10-person pod, so you can sometimes end up with, like, pretty powerful cards. So,
and when you're playing a 6-person pod, I would say that sometimes you've got to rely more on synergy than the overall just, like, big bombs that you might be able to pick up randomly in an 8 or a 10.
Yeah, absolutely. We did mention, so there's different, like, team drafts. I think one of my favorite things that we've started playing a lot when we've been playing casually with friends is the random teams after drafting.
Yes.
Because then you don't get into all of like the, you know, like the different strategies of team drafting, of, you know, like the signal, like not passing bombs to the other team and, you know, hate drafting more or having a specific strategy that you're pushing hard that synergizes with another person's. You can just be like, hey, I get to have a team. We get to talk about stuff. You know, we're all, you know, fighting to beat the other team. But you just pick them randomly afterwards.
Yeah, so team drafts you won't ever find in competitive setting unless there is a team sealed tournament, like at GP Louisville where we were. And we've talked about it before on the show, what some strategies are for good team drafting, which is, like, once again, the pure type of team drafting, which involves a lot of hate drafting, a lot of trying to screw over your neighbor by passing them a bond, them and cutting them off, and lots of underhanded strategies like that, but which isn't necessarily so much fun when you just want to get together with your friends and play a casual game. So what Megan and I will do is we'll pass out like mountains and plains randomly to the six people, and then the team mountain, team plains after the draft is done. So you don't know who your team is going in.
Yeah.
Makes everything a lot easier and a lot nicer.
Exactly. Like, you're not nearly as incentivized to like hate a card away from someone because they might be your teammate.
Yes.
And you might have taken away a card that would have made their deck a lot better.
You know what we haven't even talked about in a long time?
What?
Hate drafting.
Oh, yeah.
Let this be your monthly slash yearly reminder that hate drafting isn't a super great thing and you probably shouldn't do it.
Very limited upside.
Anyway.
I mean, every once in a while, sometimes you open a Gisella and you're like, I can't beat this card.
Maybe you just want it because you're going to trade it for
maybe
something.
Maybe I was going to say maybe you're just going to try and play it.
Yeah,
and
probably just going to try and play it.
Now.
Yeah. if you
depending on where I was in the draft, I would do that.
I would probably, and like Gisella, I love her so much, I'd probably try and play her.
Depending.
But yeah, if you want to hear more about hate drafting and why it's not necessarily a good idea, go back into our archives, magicthematurine.com, search hate drafting or something. We have episodes about it where I'm like a little baby Maria, like, why is it bad? And then I get told why. But take our word for it, okay? We've been doing this show for 4 years. We're like old grizzled veterans. I've got a wooden leg and an eye patch. That just makes me sound like a pirate.
That's a pirate. You described a pirate?
A pirate is an old grizzled veteran. Unless they're like, I'm day one, I'm a pirate. Now I'm going to have all my limbs by the end of the week. And the other pirates are like, ha ha ha, new kid.
How quickly do you think pirates lose legs?
I mean, pretty fast.
They don't all have peg legs.
If it's not from a cannon, it's from scurvy.
No, that's not how scurvy works. You don't just lose legs.
Tell me, what are the symptoms of scurvy?
Do you not know about it? Oh, it's super gross.
Is it diarrhea?
No, it's all of your old scar tissue.
Oh.
Like, goes, like, basically all of your old wounds open up.
No.
Yes.
What if I don't have any? What do you mean my old wounds?
Like,
do you mean like the scar from fourth
grade? Like, scar tissue. Yes.
What?
Yes.
Anytime I've ever had a cut, it comes back.
That's, I mean, like, there's more nuance to it than that, but that is the gist of scurvy.
That's so terrifying.
Isn't it? That's why you really don't want it.
I'm going to go eat an orange.
You should.
We're not a medical podcast. I do know
I
that.
I can't believe that we have to end up, we literally end up saying that like every episode.
I know. It's true. We have doctors and nurses who
apparently
listen to us.
Apparently one of us should be a doctor.
Cringe.
Because
once I thought about becoming a gynecologist.
Yeah.
It's a lot of school.
Yeah. Yeah. My dad just wanted me to be a doctor too bad for me to ever be one.
You rebelled.
I did.
And you're like, I'm going to be a podcaster, Dad.
Did I ever tell you that he made me like go watch a surgery when I was in college?
Yuck.
He like, yeah. I stood there for like 3 hours.
What kind of surgery was it?
I don't even remember.
A pirate getting their leg removed.
Yep. Yep. That was exactly it.
Nailed it.
Why did they have to get it removed?
Scurvy. It was an old leg wound.
It was an old leg wound. Their leg just fell off. Yeah.
GP Louisville.
That's right, everybody. This past weekend, we made our way to the Bluegrass State.
We sure
where
did.
We played some magic and talked about horses.
I should have brought my banjo, but I didn't think that far ahead.
Also, that would be yet another bag to pack.
That's so true.
So many bags.
These airplanes, they charge you nowadays. You
yeah, know they really do.
So GP Louisville was team sealed. We went because we love team sealed.
We do.
The last team sealed we played was GP DC.
That's right.
Which was a ton of fun. Was that earlier this summer?
It was.
Wow.
That was in...
Time is a funny
March?
Thing. I don't remember.
It was earlier this year.
It was, but it was cool because we got to go to the National Mall and check out that kind of stuff.
It was great.
It was super cool. And yes. So we're like, hey, GP Louisville's coming up. Let's do it again. Yes. Run it back.
We once again teamed with Athena, otherwise known as Elantris.
For Team Gnarled Pack.
Team Gnarled Pack.
I don't care what the other team names were. I think we had the best one.
Agreed.
Congratulations to the winning team from GP Louisville.
Yes. It was Sam Black, Justin Cullen, and Matt Severa.
Yeah. Good job, guys.
Nice work. I think also Justin Cullen and Matt Severa were on the team that won DC as well.
See, that just is like, there you go.
Holy snap.
What a streak. A team sealed streak.
Good at magic, man.
Yeah. And yeah, we opened some packs and made some decks. Yeah.
I would say that our pool, thinking about it more, our pool is decidedly worse than it was in DC.
You think so?
I think that we were pretty optimistic with what was actually a very low medium pool.
So
I'm not saying that it was straight bad. I'm saying that it was probably slightly below average.
Our DC pool was pretty good.
Our DC pool was good.
Yeah. Team Sealed, I'll start off by saying, I think is a very difficult format.
Oh, goodness, yes.
Sealed in and of itself, I think, is very hard.
Yes.
And Team Sealed is even harder.
Yes.
Because you need to make 3 decks for each of the teammates out of 12 mm-hmm. packs.
Yes.
It's a lot of cards and a lot of different options you have when you're building your decks.
And we had so many soul separators.
Yeah, we did.
As our rare.
Unexciting.
Unexciting.
What we did have was a ton of removal.
Yes, we had so much removal.
We kind of didn't know what to do.
We had more removal than you could shake a stick at.
Because we had so much removal, but then our creatures were like not
very wimpy.
So it's kind of like, well, we were mixing and matching our colors and seeing how they worked. And then we at one point had paired black and white together. And I was like, oh, this deck is just mono removal.
You could just kill everything, but then nothing happened after that.
Yeah, so it was crazy.
Yeah.
And building with 3 people is always challenging too because, you know, everybody's got different opinions mm-hmm. and you've just got to work out what's best. And I mean, what's best isn't clear. And it's not just not clear for us. I mean, we would talk to professional players there that weekend who also were like, oh, I misbuilt my deck.
So many people are always like, we misbuilt our pools. It happens all the time.
It's so rough. So, but we came out with 3 decks, which I think we did pretty well given what we had.
Yeah.
If I went back and thought about it and like, would I have done anything differently? I'm not sure that I would have.
I think that we ended up on the correct color combinations. And like, I think that our decks were a little underpowered.
Yeah.
And I think that was always going to happen.
So we finished
with our pool.
The day one at, what was our record?
3-4.
3-4. We dropped, there was 2 rounds left.
Yeah.
So we quit because we were out of the tournament.
Yes. And because, well, we played one more round. We played one more round. And then people, like, opponents weren't showing. And we were like, we're done.
Let's go get dinner.
Oh, and we did go. We went to, a great bar.
Yeah, we did.
That was in an old church. And we sat up in, like, the choir loft.
It was cool.
Yeah.
So we didn't do as well as we had hoped. But that being said, I'm not disappointed with what we made. Or performance. Like, I think I misplayed, but not, like, insanely badly. I credit my losses to just like, this deck was not going to probably win this match. More so than, I don't think I played right, which I think that makes me feel okay. Like, I don't feel as bad. I
definitely misplayed to losses in the first 2 rounds of the tournament, which is not the best way that you want to start out. Round 1, we ended up going to time and not finishing.
Yeah.
But I had lost game 1 and won game 2, and I think that I should have won game 1. And I told you this.
Yeah.
It was my first experience of, oh my God, I think I might have punted the game on turn 3.
That's crazy to think.
Turn 4. So.
Well, that can happen. But it's true.
It literally traced back to trading in a place where I didn't need to trade and could have made a play where I didn't trade.
Sure.
And I think that it would have been better.
That's always a question for me, like early in the game, do I trade or do I not?
And I think that a lot of times it's like I am usually in favor of trading and like I am a little bit more controlling. So I usually favor that a little bit better. Like I'm going to have better late game resources because those are the types of decks that I like to play. Sure. But in this case, my opponent was blue black and I was green black. And it was like, OK, I actually need to be putting on pressure. And I traded away a creature that I think I shouldn't have traded away.
Yeah.
So it was.
Well, that's pretty.
It was really crazy.
That's pretty advanced, like thinking about it, though, Megan. So I think that's good that you recognized it that early and you still remember it.
It's still rough to on turn 4 of the first day in the first game of the day to be like, well, whoops. Fuck that one.
Whoops. So we lost our first two rounds. Then we won our third round.
No, we didn't. We lost our third one, too.
What?
We did.
I don't think so.
Maria, we went loss, win, loss. No. That's
we
not
had three
true.
Wins.
Win. Yeah, we went loss, win, loss, win.
Oh. Well. Oh, not a great start. Yep.
It was
right down the sledding hill.
It was rough. And I like looking at our decks in a vacuum, they did not look bad.
No.
And I think that you know, a lot of the times a clue that you misbuilt in team is that one person will win all the time while another person or other people are losing all the time. And in our instance, it was just that our wins never aligned.
That's correct.
It's like we all won games throughout the day and we all won matches throughout the day. But we all lost matches. Yeah, at different times.
I was playing blue-white flyers / choking restraints.
Blue-white choking restraints.
I was playing blue-white choking restraints. You're playing green-black delirium.
Yes.
And Athena's playing red-blue spells.
Yes.
Three actual archetypes.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And
you know what? We were in good company. There were other teams that really
lots of other teams
went down that sledding hole pretty fast.
Bombed that hard. It was a lot of fun, though.
And you know where we saw them?
Super Sunday Series.
The Super Sunday Series.
That's right. Which, you know, I haven't played one in a while, and it was a good time.
I love the Super Sunday Series.
Yeah.
I say that because I've only made day two of one tournament.
So yeah.
I go out and I'm like, Super Sunday, I'm coming for you, even on day one.
Yep.
But it's just like a more relaxed, kind of friendly tournament. Yeah. But I recently learned that pro players call it the Super Sadness Series.
I mean, it's true. It's true. You're playing it because you didn't make day two.
Sure. But I love it. Whatever. Yeah. Anyway, so we both played Super Sunday.
Yeah.
And you guys,
Maria made the worst punt she's ever made.
First, let me tell you that I also had a pretty sweet mythics in my pool.
Your pool was bonkers.
I got this pool and I immediately started to panic because the person across from you opens it. So you can, I mean, not opens it, but looks at you. Wait, how did it happen?
They watch while
they
you
watch
open.
While I open it. And I just saw his eyes get huge and I looked down and it was Nahiri and I was like, oh my God. And then in that same pack, Avacyn.
So wait, was one of them? No, Avacyn's the flip card. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yep. And then another pack in Liliana.
Oh my God.
I'm just like, oh, what?
Mm-hmm.
So I felt nervous because I'm like, Maria, don't you dare squander this pool that you've been given by the magic gods. Do you hear me? And I'm like, oh God, you're going to squander it. And it was really tough to build because I had two blue-red lands and a Terrarian. And my blue creatures on the whole were better than my white creatures, save for Avacyn, of course, and Nahiri. So I was like, oh, should I just be splashing white and not play Avacyn? Then I was like, God, no, I got to play Avacyn. She's just going to win me games out of nowhere.
Yeah, she is.
So I just built red-white, but I still kind of am a little haunted by that decision if I shouldn't have gone for it for a higher overall power level deck and then splashed for some craziness. But I think I probably would have ended up losing to my mana the same amount as I lost to myself for the worst punts of all time.
Describe it.
Everybody, this is my bad beat story where I bad beat myself. So it's what ended up being the final moments of the game.
Uh-huh.
I've at one loss. I can't lose two times or I'm out of contention for top eight. The first loss is my second worst punt. This is the second loss. And what happened is I had a Fiendbinder in play. I had a very kind of aggressive red-white deck. And I had enough creatures to attack for lethal if I was able to kill one of my opponent's creatures before attacking and then tap the other one down. So he had two things in play, two creatures in play. One had been tapped from attacking me the turn before or something. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, if I draw a kill spell, I win. If I'm able to kill his creatures. One was a 3/3 vampire, the other is a 4/5 dusk feaster or whatever. Mm-hmm. Flyer that's going to kill me.
The 4/5 flyer.
I draw my card and it's Alchemist Greeting.
Yep.
What you out there in listener land don't know is that also in my deck is
Reduced to Ashes,
which is 5 damage. Alchemist Greeting does 4 damage. I draw it and I'm like, oh my God, I've won. Because literally doesn't matter what I kill, because my Fiendbinder will tap down the other thing, I'll swing and win. But I'm so excited by drawing this burn spell that I aim it. I'm like, Dust Feaster. I throw it on the table, I name the Dust Feaster, and he's like, okay. Because it's not gonna die, it has five toughness.
Yep.
Megan.
Yep.
Listeners, I cannot impress upon you how much I felt the blood drain out of my face and the rest of my body as I sat in that chair. It was like devastation was poured over me like a barrel of oil. Gross. And I was like, I have never felt so terrible as I felt in that. That's not true, but I mean, only in a game of Magic.
Yep.
As terrible as I felt right then.
Wow.
And I just sat there and I was like, I think I kind of did the thing when, like, when you're in a scary movie and you're just like, no. My poor opponent, like, is just like, what must he have thought? Like, what is this crazy woman doing across from me?
Man.
Like, I'm like, I just bonded the worst I've ever bonded in my entire life. And then he like swings for the win. So that felt awful. Really awful. And the previous loss that I got, I had played my Smoldering Werewolf and not shot out of the air his 2-1-1 spirits, which would have been a pretty good play.
Yeah.
But instead, I used another kill spell that Savage Alliance and shot them with that, which I didn't need to, and I could have saved it for something else.
Yeah.
So anyway, those are two horrible punts I made, and I feel like I need to express them because I don't want it to happen again. Now, I know everybody punts all the time. In fact, yes. LSV just put up an article today on Channel Fireball that talked about his punts from the World Championship, where he thought he drew the crab, that the flash crab.
Yeah.
But instead, he had actually drawn a Vexing Scuttler. And so he's going to go to play it. And then he realized he had the other one.
He can't.
So he did nothing, took 4, and had to cast it the next turn or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I've done that before. I have confused those two cards. I have tried to flash in a Vexing Scuttler and had people be like, you can't.
But no.
That's not a thing.
So, yeah. Even when you think that you're never going to make a god-awful punt anymore in your life, you do. Yeah.
Okay, wait, just out of curiosity. So on your side of the board, what attackers did you have?
I don't remember. I remember I had a Fiendbinder and I think two other things.
A Fiendbinder and like a creature and a creature. And he had the 4/5.
The 4/5 and a 3/3.
Untapped.
Yes.
And a 3/3. What's your life total?
Who knows? Not high.
Not high. And his is also low?
Probably.
So if you deal the damage to the Dusk Feaster, and those are his only two creatures, right?
Yes.
And if you attack with the Fiendbinder and tap down the 3/3, if you're dealing lethal, he now has to block with the 4/5, which has 4 points of damage on it.
Why couldn't he block with the 3/3?
Because you tap it with the Fiendbinder.
You think?
Yeah, because now that Dusk Feaster dies to any of your creatures. It'll trade with them, but unless you're at 3... If you're at 3 or lower, this doesn't work.
I think I must have been because...
You must have been lower than 3.
Yes. I just know that I was gonna die next turn.
Okay.
Maybe no matter... I'll go look at my life pad because...
Yeah.
Maybe you're right, but yeah. I might have very well been at 3. Anyway, yeah. So, like... bad beats, man. It's part of Magic.
Yeah, yeah.
It's telling those stories.
Yeah. I had a pool. Like, what I was most happy with on Sunday is I ended up at 3-4 after starting out 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
I promptly just really after like, the last 3 rounds.
Yeah.
But once again, I think that, like, of the 4 that I lost, I was like, okay, I think one of those I lost because I did not adhere enough to a game plan. I did not think about what my deck wanted to do. Because my deck, and I told you this, was only good at doing one thing. It was tempo flyers.
Yeah.
Because my pool, I was playing one rare out of my pool, which was the Voldaren Pariah, like the 3/3 Madness flyer that you can sack 3 creatures and flip it and then you have to sack 3.
Pretty good.
And it's a 6/5 flyer. So I was like, that's a good rare. But it was the only one I was playing, but I did have a bunch of flyers and then like a bunch of tempo cards, like a bunch of like Drag Under and Gone Missing and other stuff to bounce and kill their creatures.
Sure.
And stuff like that. So if they stumbled at all, I was like, I'll get you. Or if your deck is clunky, I'll get you. And so like one of them, I died to an aggro deck, but I died with the thing that gives -13/-13 to 2 creatures.
Ruthless Disposal.
Ruthless Disposal. And I didn't cast it because I didn't want to sack one of my creatures. And he ended up, he had a pump spell. He had the borrowed grace.
Oh.
That gives +2/+0 to your team.
Yes.
So
brutal.
Exactly. Like, I was just holding on to my cards when my deck was about, like, you need to capitalize on everything that you can, like, cast this now.
And that's just, like, being aware of, at all times, of your deck's plan.
Yeah. Another one of my losses, I think, was kind of the same thing. I didn't think far enough ahead in turns. Because I ended up dying because I had a spontaneous mutation on my opponent's Thalia. Because at the time I needed to not die. But I think I could have spontaneous mutationed another creature and then been able to later kill the Thalia and something else with the Ruthless Disposal. Because it wasn't dealing me damage, but I ended up dying because I needed to have a creature come into play untapped.
Yeah.
And I couldn't.
I remember because we were playing our games next to each other or something. Yeah. And I'm like, why is your dude tapped? And because I didn't even see Thalia over there with the spontaneous mutation on
exactly. So that was one of those interesting things where it's like, okay, at the time she was a creature that I couldn't trade with. And that's kind of why I put it on there. But I wasn't thinking far enough ahead like, hey, you're going to want to kill that once you get to 5 mana. Because you need to be able to, like, you're defensive. You need to have things come into play untapped.
You guys, limited is hard.
Yeah. And then another one, like, the other two, one of them, I told you this, like, it was a super aggressive, like, insanely aggressive vampires deck that I think I'm never supposed, like, I don't think I win if he doesn't stumble.
Yep.
And he didn't. Both games, it was just, like, one drop, two drop, like, you know, like, another two drop and a one drop or, like, a three drop or, like, kill your stuff. It was insane. Both games. And then, the last one, it's hard to say. I flooded out really badly. There's a chance, you know, I probably made mistakes. But at the end of the day, I also had, like, 13 lands in play.
Yeah.
So
I think what this tournament made me realize, more than I've realized before, is how insanely skill-intensive sealed deck is.
Oh, God, it's absurd.
So some people say that they called sealed deck sealed luck because, oh, if you open a great pool, you're just going to win. Well, that's not true. No. I'm living proof right here.
Yeah.
Okay. And secondly, like, you have to know every card in the format so well. You have to know they could have anything coming at you.
Yeah.
They could have anything coming at you. Like, Hadavisin, that you've got to sometimes be like, you know, like,
what is my opponent doing with all this mana untapped?
Might they have Avacyn? Like, might they have the borrowed grace, which blew me out at one point during the weekend? Grace.
Do you know what? That card's a piece of goddamn work sometimes.
Oh, yeah, it sure is.
I'm not a combat tricks person, but sometimes it's 5 mana for +2/+2 to your team.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yep, I lose to that.
So
I lose to that a lot.
I was just thinking, like, I know it's hard, and I know limited is also really, really fun. Mm-hmm. But man, you have to be a darn good player. Like, you cannot win and be bad. You have to know the cards in the set so well. I got blown up by Woodcutter's Grit a few times, like, than I expected.
I think I don't get surprised by that card only because I have played it a lot. And I don't advocate it.
I'm like, is this card good suddenly?
No. Yeah,
anyway.
The answer is still no, but I played it. So.
But it reminded me of, like, playing I thought about GP Minneapolis, which was standard.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized I was not, like, as stressed out going into every game because I kind of could tell what my opponent's deck was going to be doing or what cards were going to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
This, you just had no idea. Which is funny that it's taken me, like, this long to think, wow, sealed deck is hard.
Yeah.
Harder than standard.
It's difficult, man.
Anyway, so that was my takeaway. But we had a great time at GP Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
The convention center did smell like a cow, but you got over it.
Cows.
Eventually.
Plural.
We went and had some good drinks at a sweet church bar, ate some pie and ice cream.
Oh, I forgot to mention that pie place.
Yeah.
God damn you guys. We went to this pie place. I had cherry chocolate pie.
Great.
With chocolate chip ice cream on top. It was so good.
We bowled. We went bowling.
Yeah, we did go bowling. That was also a lot of fun. We ended up on a random roof bar.
Yeah, roof bar.
That was good.
Yeah, so that's the thing about going to GPs. Not only is it fun and you get to, like, really test your magic metal with your friends, especially playing a team event, but you get to explore the city that you're in. This case, I've never been to Kentucky in my life. I saw a lot of people wearing unnecessary cowboy boots.
Yeah.
That was great.
You don't know what they do in their life.
All I know is that if it's 2 a.m. and you're out drinking, you probably don't need to wear them. Kaladesh previews!
That's right, everybody. Holy cow, there was a big announcement recently.
Oh, yes.
The Masterpiece series.
Masterpiece on PBS.
Masterpiece Theater.
Now introducing cards.
Kaladesh inventions.
You know how they always have like the little intro at Masterpiece Theater?
Uh-huh, with the little person like in the chair by the fire.
And they're like, hello. Well, they're not in a chair by fire anymore. They're just like in a blank space. Oh. Like now it's Alan. What? It's Alan Cumming who does it now.
Why is he not in a chair by a fire?
I don't know, because it's 2016.
Ugh. Classic 2016.
You mean you want him to be like reading a book and looking up, I didn't see you there.
Yes. That is what I want. That is what I expect.
He's so good though. He's so good at it. Like I know it's random that I'm like, he's so good at introducing a show, but
that's a weird thing to say.
Every time he does it, I'm like, yes. Yes.
That is a little weird.
Let's like watch it and I'll have you not say that because
all right, I believe you.
You will. Anyway, Masterpiece series. What does this mean, Megan?
The expeditions were kind of like, it turns out like the first installment of these.
Snap.
And now we have a new installment of like premium foil, new art, beautiful border reprints.
Yes.
That somehow go with the set. So Battle for Zendikar, it was the expeditions,
yep,
because that was, you know, a land-based set. And in Kaladesh, it is they're reprinting tons of classic artifacts, but in the same style of, like, they all have new art, they all have these gorgeous borders, they're going to be foil, and they're in, like, that kind of super mythic, like, the foil mythic spot.
Yeah.
So they're not going to be open very often at all.
Yeah, so you opened how many expeditions, two or three? Two. I opened zero, so I have high expectations.
Time for you to get even.
That I'm going to get one of these masterpieces. Yeah. These ones are called the Inventions,
mm-hmm.
And gosh, they're beautiful. And
they are.
They're
so cool.
There's a foil anime, like a show somebody Trick was showing off how it looks foil, and they're just gorgeous.
So there's the Gear Hulks, the new cards from Kaladesh are some of this cycle. There's also Sword of Light and Shadow, Sword of Fire and Ice, and Sword of Feast and Famine.
Nice.
And the art on those is so cool.
I mean,
Steel Overseer, Mox Opal, Soul Ring,
Lotus Petal.
Yeah, Solemn Simulacrum.
Scroll Rack.
Mana Vault.
Chrome Mox.
Like, again, Hangerback Walker, all of these.
Mana Crypt.
Aether Vial.
Oh, nice.
So again, all of these crazy cards. And these ones have like this like gold border going on. They're really beautiful.
They look like if a rich person was like, I am going to make magic cards.
Yes, that is what they look like.
I'll dip them in gold.
They do look dipped in gold. Look, I have gold leaf to this magic card.
I will have my servants foil them with the foil gold foil process.
It should be quite beautiful. They're gorgeous. It's awesome. And as some people have pointed out, one of the ideas behind these is that they do make the set people are more likely to purchase and crack it.
Yeah.
Which means that also sometimes it can affect the price of standard cards, which can be a little bit lower and a little bit easier for people to get into standard because standard prices are affected by how much of a card is opened and how much of a set is opened. So if tons of Kaladesh gets opened, then that's good for standard prices. They'll be a little bit lower and people will be able to play standard a little bit more easily.
It also gives more access to these cards. Sure, they're going to be expensive and everything, but there's always a chance that A, you'll open one, and mm-hmm. B, that the general prices will go down because these reprints now exist.
Yeah.
So.
And they're also just gorgeous.
They're just gorgeous. I think it's a great idea. It's a fantastic way to add value to the set without, like, they mentioned they'd tried to do similar things by putting, like, these super expensive cards in different product, and then that product sold in a way that it really shouldn't have sold, like, way too much or whatever. And this way, you just have no idea. So, I think cool. It's really cool. Some pros would rather that you were not able to open one of these on the Pro Tour.
Like a Mox Opal.
Yeah.
Or a Mana Vault or a Mana Crypt.
Not only because it like there was the whole Tarmogoyf gate at GP Vegas.
Yes.
When somebody opened a Goyf and drafted it when other players don't think they should have. Just for the cost. And then there is.
But also just like if someone is playing Sol Ring in their draft deck.
Like what?
Sorry, sucker.
It's not fair. Well, what do you think? Do you think they should have to take him out?
That's a really good question. I'll go with, I think that it would be very reasonable to have them taken out.
Yeah, I agree. But normal life, I think it's cool that they're in there. Yeah, like if I'm really going down to the store and I'm drafting and somebody opens a soul ring, I'm going to be like, sure.
Good job.
Good job, buddy.
Good job.
I guess play it.
That's like, awesome.
That's good for you. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, those are gorgeous and I can't wait to open five.
Yeah. So much of the stuff on here is so pretty though. Kaladesh is so pretty.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's gorgeous. I love the color palette of it. It's so bright.
Yeah. Bright and beautiful. So, Megan, what if some new preview cards has got your fancy?
Well, obviously, there's Cloudblazer, which is one of a couple of new multicolor cards that we have seen. Cloudblazer is 3 white-blue for a flying 2/2. When it enters the battlefield, you gain 2 life and draw 2 cards.
Ugh. Some people are calling this the new Muldrifter.
It doesn't have Evoke,
but
which is notable,
it's not really a Muldrifter. It's also beautiful. 2 colors, but...
And you gain 2 life. It's great. I love it. It's beautiful. I will play. I will cast this card, I'm sure, many times.
Hopefully. It's an uncommon. It's not even a rare. So
yeah.
Get
pretty
to it.
Cool.
I mean, I love this new card, Smuggler's Copter.
Yes.
Which, by the way, is just an adorable little vehicle.
Yes, it is.
2 mana for a 3/3 flyer. What? Crew 1. And every time it attacks or blocks, you may draw a card. If you do, discard a card.
Very cool.
I love it. That's very really cool. Powerful. I think that's going to be in standard. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, fingers crossed, because I love playing like weird kind of like artifact aggressive, like strange decks like that. And I hope that something like a 3/3 flight for 2, there's not much that's more aggressive than that. Yeah. So.
One of the other cards I like is Contraband Kingpin. This is another one of the multicolors. It's 1/2 for a 1/4 lifelink. Whenever an artifact enters the battlefield under your control, scry 1.
And that card's much more your style.
Oh, yeah, than my it style. Is. Give me some lifelink. Give me a nice blocker. Give me some scrying. Yes, please.
Let me tell you what you're not going to block.
What?
My copter.
That's what you think.
Does it have reach?
No, but that can be solved.
So we're talking a little bit about standard while we're looking at these cards, which is kind of a new thing for us.
Yeah.
Honestly, just realizing. And here's one that excited me.
Yeah, you and your little aggro heart.
Yes. So I played Mono White at GP Minneapolis, to the greatest success I've ever had at GP. So I fall in love with it a little bit.
Of course.
Tool Shaper Paradigm, just 1 white. It's a dwarf artificer. It's just a 1/1, but at the beginning of your combat step, if you control an artifact, it gets +2/+1 until end of turn. If you control at least 3 artifacts, you also get first strike until end of turn.
Pretty good.
Okay, sure. I'll attack for 3 on turn 2. No big deal.
They do that in Modern.
Yeah. Standard is the new Modern. Oh, God.
There's also a new cycle which involves the energy counters.
Yes.
Thriving Ibex, Thriving Turtle, Thriving Rats, Thriving Grubs, and Thriving Rhino.
Can I just say Thriving Grubs, Megan, is a delight.
Maria cannot handle how cute the art on this card is.
I can't handle Thriving Grubs.
Cannot handle it.
It's so good. They're thriving and they're little grubs. Gremlins were already cute and now their babies are called grubs. Sign me up.
So this is a cycle of creatures that when they enter the battlefield, you get 2 energy counters. And then when they attack, you can pay 2 energy counters to put a +1/+1 counter on them.
Seems pretty sick.
Yeah. They're nice in that, like, you know, something like Thriving Grubs, which is a 2/1 for 2.
It's fine.
You might just play for energy counters because you need energy counters.
Yeah.
And you're not going to ever, you know, put a +1/+1 counter on it.
I think calling something a thriving turtle is weird. Like, can you imagine
a
turtle thriving?
Yes.
Have you ever thought, that turtle is thriving right now?
Yeah, it is.
You have never thought that.
We have a friend who owns a turtle, and I'm sure his turtle is thriving.
I don't know. Like, for something to thrive, I've got to be like, you have got it great.
You're telling me that you don't think that there is any turtle out there who's got it great?
I think they look grumpy.
You think that all turtles are living mediocre lives?
I mean, I don't know. I've never seen one that I thought that turtle has got it made in the shade.
That sounds like you have a problem anthropomorphizing turtles. Not like turtles have a problem being happy.
Like thriving rats. Yeah, I've seen a rat thrive.
But you haven't seen a turtle thrive?
No, they're just slow. They look grumpy and they're slow.
I think we're seeing that you have some real ingrained prejudices against turtles. that's what's really true. Going on here.
In the cycle, though, Thriving Rhino is the best of the bunch.
2-3 for two and a green.
Yeah.
Those energy counters. It could be a 3-4 on turn 4.
Those grubs are like kittens that get in your car when it's cold out.
Aww.
Yeah.
Those poor kittens.
I know.
They don't have a home.
They just want to get warm.
Yeah.
Anyway, cutest card. Like, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah.
It's definitely up there. And it's, what am I trying to say? It is in the position to be knocked down.
All right. But it's the one that you got to come after.
Yeah. I don't know. There's some kind of saying for that I'm missing right now.
I don't know what you're trying to say.
It's got a target on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right, Megan, what else excites you?
I just wanted to mention when we had last talked about the Gear Hulk cycle,
yeah.
Which is a set of mythics, we had not yet seen the red one, which is completely bonkers also.
Yeah, it is.
4 red for a 6/6 first strike.
Oh, okay.
Seems fine.
It's fine.
When combustible Gear Hulk enters the battlefield, target opponent may have you draw 3 cards. If the player doesn't, put the top 3 cards of your library into your graveyard. Then combustible Gear Hulk deals damage to that player equal to the total converted mana cost of those cards.
So
just holy buckets.
Yeah, you're really going to not want to die to this, which could
you're really putting them to like a tough decision.
I mean, there'll be times when they just draw land, like 2-drop, but still you're taking 2 and they have like, a 6-6 first striker. That's still 3 cards.
Yeah. That's still 3 cards that you get to see out of your... Maria, drawing cards is so good.
I know.
The best thing.
I'm just saying, I think I'm going to be more gambly with this card, where I'm like, no.
You think that you're going to tell them no?
Put them in your graveyard, buddy.
It depends on what your life total is, I guess.
Yeah. That reminds me, at the tournament this weekend, somebody started the game with Providence in their hand and showed me it, God. And I was like, kill me. And then they got to 7 mana, and I had them to 4, and uh-huh. I had forgotten that they still had it. It was my bad. But then they're like, Providence, and I go to 26, and I was like, double kill me. And then I died.
Oh, God.
Anyway, but yeah. So... Sweet new cards we've been seeing. Mm-hmm. Megan, I just want to point out, I mentioned a forerunner for cutest card.
Yeah.
I want to know how you feel about a potential forerunner for grossest card.
All right.
Eliminate the competition.
Oh, God. It's intense.
It is. It's a great card. 4 and a black, sorcery. As an additional cost to cast it, sacrifice X creatures, destroy X target creatures. And the art...
I love how it works with like servos and thopters,
yes.
Right? You can...
Yes.
Ideally, you're sacrificing a bunch of these little servos that you've made to destroy their actual creatures.
Yeah.
But it is someone driving a knife straight through someone else's wrist.
And their own hand.
Oh, God. What?
Yeah. So they are grabbing their wrist and then putting it through their own hand and that person's wrist. You know who doesn't like this card? Stephen Colbert, Livestrong.
What?
Do you remember that from his show?
No.
He, like, broke his wrist on the Colbert Report, and he started wearing a red wrist strong bracelet to make fun of, like, Livestrong, I guess. I don't know.
I do not remember that.
And he wore that bracelet for, like, I think every single episode, the rest of the show.
Oh, my God.
Wrist strong. Yeah. Looks painful.
Oh, yep. That's bad.
Anyway, the only other card that I want to bring up, I think, is Blossoming Defense, which might show up in Modern. Speaking of Modern, 1 green for an instant. Target creature you control gets +2/+2 and gains hexproof until end of turn.
Notably, people are saying, you know, Infect is coming for that card.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, yeah, give it to me.
Big time.
Put it in this deck.
So we'll keep our eyes peeled for more Kaladesh previews coming your way. Of course, mm-hmm. Follow us on Twitter at MTAcast. We tweet out the most exciting ones as we see them come through. Next week we'll have Judge Rob on the show, who will give us a pre-release primer. So before we go in and do the pre-release.
Yeah, you'll know what's what. Also, so last week we talked about how foxes scream kind of like people.
Yes, we did.
And we said that anyone who sent us an email with an audio clip of them screaming like a fox, we would send them a signed foil filigree familiar when the set is out.
Yeah.
We got a great voicemail.
Megan, we got perhaps the best email that we've ever gotten in the history of the show.
It is very potentially the best.
There's no way for us to describe it, so let us just play it for you now.
Hi, my name is Jesse Brown. I live in Temple, Texas. And this is my imitation of a fox screaming.
Just read the email that Jesse sent with us.
Jesse, let's also just say you're the best. you're the best.
So here's my recording, he writes. Had to go to the garage to keep from scaring my family.
I get it. I have to say, man, that I get it.
We are going to send you that signed filigree familiar because you earned it, buddy.
Because you really did.
That was amazing.
That was...
And here's what you don't know about that. I played it in the middle of the night. I turned my phone up to its full volume.
When we were in Louisville
and scared
Maria
Megan.
Put it right next to my face.
Put it in her face. But it was like completely dark in the room. It was so good. Oh,
thank
God.
Thank you, Jesse.
Thank you, Jesse. Thank you are you. A hero among men and foxes. Flavortext Theater presents... Make It Spooky.
We are playing with a pack of cons, which again we got from listeners and friends of the show, Vicky and James, who we saw at GP Louisville. And we're going to take a look at these cards, and we're going to make them spooky.
Yeah, because this is one of the last times we're going to be in the Spooky Moon block.
Spooky Moon.
So let's make some cards from cons spookified.
Yeah.
This was your favorite set of all time, Megan.
It was. So far. I really love drafting triple cons.
Okay.
I had such a great time. All right.
Oh, man. Ready? This is going to be a blast from the past. Okay. Got it.
All right.
So I pulled a land.
Uh-huh.
It's Scoured Barrens. Ooh. I'm going to change it to Scared Barrens. They're so scared. how'd that get by the naming committee? Yep, Scared Barrens. Put it in.
I pulled Dutiful Return, which is already pretty spooky.
Yeah, that's already spooky.
I think Dread Return is already a card in the set.
Nice.
Isn't it a spooky movie?
Dread Return?
Dread Return? Are you sure?
I'm sure.
What am I thinking of?
You're thinking of some other Return from the Graveyard spookiness. Oh, okay. Oh. I've got Smite the Monstrous.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to change it to Spook the Monstrous. Which one? What it does is instead of just like destroying target creature power 4 or greater, it spooks it. So it goes back into their hand.
Wow, that card is way worse.
Yeah, it's terrible. Don't ever play Spook the Monsters.
Okay. I have Tygum's Scheming.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna rename it Tygum's Screaming.
Hire us, wizards! okay. What should this one be? Oh, boy. Unyielding Krumar. It's gonna be... I'm Yielding a Crowbar is the new name.
Uh-huh.
And it's like a guy with a sweet Innistrad hat, obviously, with a crowbar, and they're like trying to smite some kind of Eldrazi spooky monster. Mm-hmm. It's still a 3/3 for 4. I'm wielding a crowbar, and you can pay 1 and a black, and that crowbar is a creature. And what that means is that it taps target spooky creature. It's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I have Scout the Borders, which I'm going to make into Scout the Spooky Barrens.
No, it was Scared Barrens.
Okay, Scout the Scared Barrens.
Yeah.
Which is where you can just go and look for that land.
Oh, okay. Specifically?
Scared Barrens. You can only go get Scared Barrens.
Not a very good card.
No.
Here I have Pine Walker. This one is going to be Pine Walker Texas Ranger, and it's going to be a zombie version of Walker Texas Ranger who smells like a pine, smells like a Christmas tree.
All right.
Great card.
This is Valley Dasher. I'm going to call it Valley Dash Awayer. it is a coward.
Yep.
It's a creature type coward. And instead of being a hasty 2/2 that has to attack each turn if able, It's a 2/2 with defender that has to block each turn if able. No, that can just never block. It's a 2/2 defender that can't block.
Oh, terrible.
Valley Dash Awayer.
I have Embodiment of Spring. Remember this guy? an 03 for one blue, and you can tap and go find second and go find a some land for one and a green. Instead of embodiment of spring, it's going to be embodiment of wring your neck. And it basically gives a creature -1/-1.
Yeah.
Still costs one.
I have secret plans.
Oh.
Which I think we just have to make spooky plans.
Spooky plans.
Spooky plans. And it's that all spooky creatures you get +0/+1.
I wish there was creature type spooky.
Spooky.
I have Mardu Heart Piercer, which I loved this card.
Yeah.
In cons. Heart piercing is pretty spooky.
Yeah.
I want it to be Mardudu Heart Piercer, and it's a poop demon. It's a poop demon. That yep. pierces your heart.
All right. All right.
We've all been there.
Crater's Claws, I'm going to turn into just Werewolf's Claws.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, does the same thing. X and red. Werewolf's Claws.
That's our rare?
Yeah.
All right. Sweet rare.
Yeah.
I have Jeskai Student. Instead, this should be like Vampire Student, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just somebody learning to be a vampire.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have Naturalize. And it is not your lies. And it's...
I have an alternate card.
And it's an instant that counters Emrakul. And only Emrakul. But it's like, not your lies, Emrakul.
Not your lies.
Not your lies.
What about... What if it was, instead of naturalize, it was natural eyes. And it was a dummy, but it had real human eyes.
Oh my God! No!
I've just created the creepiest thing that I have, I think, ever thought of in my life.
Spooked.
I'm straight spooked
straight
right now.
Straight spooked. Too spooky for me.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us again this week like you do every week. Unless this is your first time, then welcome.
Yeah.
You stayed to the end. Congratulations.
Wow. You made it, buddy.
Nice. We've got a whole lot of really exciting stuff coming up.
Yes.
That we want to make sure you know about.
We are going to be at the Kaladesh pre-release this weekend. We'll be playing in Victoria, BC, Canada, with all of the brand new Kaladesh cards. And we'll be there with the team from Loading Ready Run.
Yep.
With Adam Staborski, a.k.a. Stibbs from TCG Player.
Yes.
And with Blake, who writes the Daily Magic Update and generally does writing and editing for Daily MTG.
Yeah, pretty sweet crew.
Yeah, man.
We're going to take Canada down.
Yeah, we are, Canada. We're coming for
you. We're coming for you. You might be nice. You might have free healthcare.
But we are out to get you.
We're coming for you, okay?
Hear me?
I already have a Canadian accent. It's not going to take too much for me to blend in like I'm sneaking in. Like a snake in the grass.
You can watch that live on twitch.tv/loadingreadyrun this week on the 18th, which is Sunday.
So it's going to start at 12 p.m. Pacific.
Yes.
On the 18th. So keep that in mind. Tune in. Get in the chat. Chat it up. Mm-hmm. We'll be there playing, hopefully doing our best.
Some sweet Kaladesh action, man.
Yeah, it's good because you can see all the cards play against each other before you guys go out to your own pre-release the next week.
You can get a leg up on the competition.
Yeah. So when I said Judge Rob was going to be here next episode, did I mean that next episode or the episode after?
Man.
I don't know.
Stay tuned. We'll let you know.
He'll be here.
He will.
To get you ready.
Yep.
But yeah, check out the pre-release. I'm super, super stoked. Everyone who's done it says it's a great time, so I'm really excited.
Yes.
Hopefully I won't punt as bad as I did at GP Will on camera.
Once again, thank you to our brand new sponsor who we're so excited to have, which is Card Kingdom.
Card Kingdom!
Go there if you're in Seattle or check them out online, cardkingdom.com.
So if you guys want to check out Card Kingdom, go to cardkingdom.com/MTAcast.
That way they will know that we sent you.
And of course, we still need your help, patreon.com/MTAcast. Just because we have a sponsor doesn't mean that we don't still
need your support.
Need your support because we really do.
We really do.
The show is growing at an astounding pace, which we couldn't be happier about, honestly. It's one of my favorite things in my life. And it's possible because you guys are able to help support us.
Yep. Not only that, but you can also win some sweet prizes. So far for this month's giveaway, we have Nissa versus Obnixilis dual deck.
Yes.
We have this pack of cons, the cards that we just opened.
Yes.
And we'll throw in a pack of shadows and a pack of moon to go with it.
Oh, sweet.
So that's everything so far, and there will only be more with the future episodes. We are also going to do a drawing.
Yeah.
That's going to be just from people who just started being patrons this month.
Yeah.
Which will be an an Omnixilis versus Nissa dual deck as well. So that is a separate one for anyone who is brand new
anybody.
This month. So if you have not yet started donating on Patreon, consider it, because you can also win some sick prizes.
And you get to be in our less than 1% club.
That's right.
Which is how many people donated to the show.
Yep.
Which is staggeringly low. And so, yeah, that's, I think, all that we have to say, except for one final thing.
Which is?
I have released the interviews episode of the interviews that I did with Magic R&D and the creative team at PAX. So it should show up in your feed for this podcast. It's called Chatting with WotC, because that's what we did. And it's really cool. We talked to a lot of people like Mark Rosewater, Mel Lee in creative, other people from R&D, Jeremy Jarvis, who used to be the art director, and Paolo Vito Tomatorosa. So check it out. Listen to it. It's a great bonus episode of more extra cool content from PAX this past week. So yeah, check that out as well. Wow, we are doing a lot of stuff, Megan.
Yeah, we are.
We're going to be streaming a lot more often,
too. That's right. We will be streaming. If you're listening to this on Tuesday, we're streaming tonight.
Yeah, tonight.
7 p.m.
Crafts and Drafts.
Crafts and Drafts. Come join us for some drafts and some crafts.
Yeah, twitch.tv/magictheamateuring. We're trying to make partner, so hopefully we can get a pretty regular schedule going. Tuesdays.
Yeah, yeah.
Potentially Thursdays.
We're trying.
Follow us on there, and you'll know whenever we go live.
Yep.
But until then, thanks for hanging out with us, you guys, for another week. I love hanging out with you and talking magic. Even though it's just me and Megan, I feel like you're here in a hug with me during the whole episode.
I always feel like it's me and you and a ghost host.
Oh, yeah, ghost host.
Always with us.